Good morning, everyone. It's so good this morning to share with you, and I want to just let you know and thank you, everyone, for praying for us, for our journey with adoption. We started the process in April last year, and finally, our son is here. He is home. He's there, and his English is very limited, so if last Sunday you got a no instead of a hello, we apologize. He's a little bit overwhelmed, but if you know anything about soccer, you're good, because he loves soccer. Yeah, Rorok, come on. I just want to ask the team, some people from the School of Supernatural Ministry and from the prophetic teams and the ministry team, just to come to the front. I asked them to give words to people in the audience. We practice to hear from the Lord. And I want to encourage you to join our teams, to join the school, the prophetic team, or the ministry team. This is a safe place where we practice to hear from the Lord and to minister. And then we can go out with more boldness and minister to people in the marketplace and where we receive people, or where we see people in our spheres of influence. So I asked them to keep it tight and short so all of us can share. So we start on this end. Betty, are you ready? So,
well, my word for the day is that God is with each and every one of y'all. Each and every one. He loves us all. At times I have situations where I'm really crying out to him. And then another week, I just have full of joy, praising him. Well, this week, I'm crying out to him. And I know there's others in here that are crying out to him, too. There's all kinds of things in life that happens to us. At times, there's joy unspeakable, and there's times of sorrow. And sorrow is a very hard place to be in. But God is with us in all of the places we're in. Every morning we wake up, he is there.
Amen.
And just hold his hand, because he's going to get you through. He's never let me down, and he's never going to let you down. But I do think it's very, very important that you come together and praise and worship him. To me, it's like going to the filling station and getting gas in your car. When you come in the presence of God and everybody praising him and worshiping him, I'm going too long. Anyway, praise and worship God and hold his hand. He's for you. And everybody that's in here, he knows what you're going through, what you're in, and he's going to get you through, and he's going to love you, okay? And it's going to be better than what it was.
Thank you, Lord, for the fountain. Thank you, Betty.
Could you please stand up, the lady right here in the purple? Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. Two words I heard the Father say, love and peace. He wants you to know that he loves you and to just declare peace over you in your life and whatever you're going through, he's got it, and he's encircling you with his love.
Amen. Thank you.
The lady in the back with the beige sweater and a scarf around her neck. It looks like maybe it's maroon, blonde hair. I hear, look up, look up, look up, and you will see me, and you will hear me say, you are my treasure.
Debbie, this is for you in the pink. I know you probably can't stand up. Do you want? But this word is for you. It's Ephesians. God asked me to personalize Ephesians 1, 3 through 6 for you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose you in him before the foundation of the world, that you should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined you to adoption as a daughter by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made you accepted in the beloved.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
For the past couple of weeks, I'm kind of prophetic, and I've been called a seer, and I've been feeling a lot of like heaviness, and it's not just me, because even in times of joy, I'm still feeling a little heaviness. Mm-hmm. And the Lord, I asked the Lord for a verse, and he gave me the verse in 2 Timothy 1:7, and this is, if you feel like it's for you, claim it, okay? Mm-hmm. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Bless y'all. Just be blessed, whoever you are. Thanks.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. We receive it. Thank you, Father.
So I was asking the Lord to give me a verse or some kind of word for someone. And the verse that I was given was John 10:10. And as I was asking God during worship, like, who is this for? I saw the lady here in the towards the back with the green coat on. If you could stand up. Yeah, it's you. It's you. Yeah. Sweater. Sorry. I saw the green. So John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to give you life, and life more abundantly. And that kind of seemed like a basic sort of verse to me, but the Lord was really repeating the last part. Like over and over, life more abundantly, not just basic life, not just, you know, whatever happens, but more abundant, a more blessed life.
I have a word for the lady in the teal shirt. Yes, you. The Lord brought to my mind when I saw you first the words delight. He delights in you. Also, the scripture verse, Psalms 91, verse 1, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And he wants you to know that he sees your personal devotions, that he hears your words, and that you definitely are under his wings.
Amen.
Yeah. I don't think I can point you out, so I'm going to come over to you. I would be saying, behind Jared, the one. Ma'am, could you stand up? I got Psalm 126, verses 1 through 4, and in those scriptures it talks about restoration, and the people that are being restored are filled with laughter and joy and singing, and that other people will recognize what he's done in your life. And it also talks about restoration of fortunes and streams in the desert. So I bless you with that.
Thank you.
You in the yellow, could you please stand? Yes. I love that color. While we were worshiping, I asked the Lord to point somebody out, and he pointed you out to me, and he showed me a picture of him, and while you were worshiping, he was dancing around you, and he was stroking your hair, and he was saying how much he loved you, and that you were his precious beloved one, and that he's going to be leading you into a season of rest, where he's just going to fill you with rest in his presence. So I bless you with that.
And for you, you are the one. What's your name right here? Yes. If you could stand up, please. Yeah, so Holy Spirit was saying something to me, and he highlighted Psalm 23 with you. And the first three verses, there's six verses in that, are talking about God. But the last three verses are to him. You anoint my head with oil. You prepare a place for me, on and on. And so he's taking you into a much more intimate place. You already know him in that way, but it's this breadth and depth of the river of love and intimacy with the Father. So that's where you're going.
What I saw, I got to go refer to this morning, no short. I saw angels jumping on behind people saying, do this one, do this one, don't overlook. And I thought that was kind of crazy. Well, the second service is a little more crazy. I'm not going to make eye contact, and I'm not going to call the guy out, but the message is, and you'll know it's for you, and there's probably more than one. I'm seeing like three men, okay? And God's saying, you don't have to do this alone. This isn't about doing it yourself. You can rely on me. When you are your strongest is when you give up everything and lean on me. When you stand on your own 2 feet and try and do it yourself, then you are your weakest, and then you are alone. But lean on me, and I'll bring people, I'll bring other men to lift you up. It's a community. Even the farmers of old relied on their neighbor farmers to help them. You do not have to do this alone. Be blessed.
There was a young guy caught my attention earlier while I was going over there. I think the one in a checkered shirt in the back. Hi, I feel like the Lord is telling me to let you know that there might be bridges that have been split apart or torn down, but the Lord has your back. Whatever it is that has been torn down will be built again. And I'm not sure what it is, but do not lose hope. Jeremiah 29:11, just keep it in mind that the Lord wants to bless you and prosper you, and as he will be connecting these bridges, you will be connecting bridges for other people too. Bless you.
Hi, just this lady right here in the light green sweater. I just felt like Proverbs 3. Do not be afraid of sudden fear nor the onslaught of the wicked, for the Lord is your confidence, and he'll keep your feet from getting caught. And I just felt like the safety of the Lord is upon you, and he's got a net all around you and mighty warriors in the heavenlies to keep you from harm. You don't have to fear because he never sleeps or slumbers. He never even blinks his eyes. He's always got his eye on you, and he's watching out for you, and he loves you like wild, mad, crazy. Okay.
This word is for the lady with the red hair. Yes, you. You. For you. Red hair. Yeah. Okay, the Lord says we all carry something, and he pointed out to you. And he says, Romans 15:13 says, now may the God of hope fill you with all the joy and the peace and believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. He's telling me too that no matter what you're going through, the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Amen. Okay.
May I hug you?
Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your works to the Lord and your plans will be established. I'm seeing people that are in a circle that have taken some things out of their hearts and they laid it down on the ground and they're walking away from it. They've lost their joy. They've lost a lot of things because the dreams that they took out of their heart, that God put in their heart, and they laid them down. No longer do they play the songs of Zion and put their harps up on the pillows. But the Lord is saying to you this morning, whoever you are, to pick up those dreams again and begin to chase after the dream that God has put within your heart. And he will establish it. He will bring it to pass. But you've got to work. You've got to depend on him. But he says, pick up the dreams and run again with the dream.
Of course, this is a word of comfort for those who suffer loss and things like that. Of course, for Christians, they're called sleep. Death is called sleep. And here it is. Now at the time, Michael, the great prince who stands guard over the sons of your people, will arise. And there will be a time of distress, such as never occurred since there was a nation until that time. And that time your people, everyone who is found written in the book, will be rescued. But for those who are saved, and many of those who sleep is resting the body, but then it will be awakened again. In the dust of the ground will awake, this to everlasting life, but the others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. And those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven, and those who lead the many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever.
Minister. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Thank you. I just want to take a moment and just on your seat there was an envelope with a card in it. Just take a moment to quickly share about it. In 2011, the Lord called me to step out and start my own ministry, and people who speak into my life encouraged me to use my name, Marguerite Evans Ministries. It's a registered nonprofit, and the first door that the Lord opened for me was to speak in a conference in Turkey, and all the attendees were from Muslim majority countries, and it was my first exposure to these cultures, and I was overwhelmed by the reality of the abuse that is in those cultures. And from there, the Lord opened doors for me to minister in country, and I'm also ministering online, and the Lord opened a door for me to have a TV show that is going into the Farsi speaking world. I have done 3 episodes of that show, and it's recorded in California. I just want to show a clip for you.
Say, Jesus.
Ey مسیح قدوس.
I want to know that you are real.
من میخوام بدونم که تو حقانیت هستی و حقیقت هستی.
I thank you for what you've done on the cross.
متشکرم برای کاری که در صلیب برای ما کردی.
That you've taken all the bad things that I've done in my life and you've died for it. You've paid the price for it.
تو پرداخت کردی برای تمام گناهانی که من مرتکب شدم.
So I've done 3 shows of those. I'm working on more. These 3 shows have been shown into Iran, Afghanistan, and Tajikistan. And they told me in California that it was viewed by an estimated of 110 million people have seen this. So on this card, this picture was taken at a conference that I spoke. It's a very special picture to me. And I want to ask you to prayerfully consider to ask the Lord if he would you to partner with me to influence these nations and other nations. And if you just want to receive my newsletter, you can also complete it and just say newsletter on it, and you can give it to me or mail it or leave it at the church. Thank you. Father, I thank you for who you are. You're so amazing, God. We love you, Father. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Holy Spirit. We thank you that you are here. We thank you for your presence here. And I ask that you prepare each one of our hearts to receive all that you have for us today, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. One thing that I've learned in my travels to these different cultures is that the only way you change culture is by people receiving Jesus Christ and by hearts being healed and by minds being transformed. Many of you know the story of the lady who would cut her roast a piece off and put the roast in 2 pots in the oven. And her husband one time said to her, "Why do you do that?" And she said, "Well, my mother used to do it like that, I don't know." And they asked the mother, "Why do you do that?" And she said, "I don't know, my mother used to do it like that." And in the end, I called the grandmother and they said, "Why do you do that?" And she said, "Well, I don't know why you guys are doing it, but my pot was too small. So I had to cut the roast and put it in 2 in two parts. You know, and that's the way it is in our lives. Many times things are just, that's the way it is. In some cultures, you know, in our cultures, there are cultural things that's there. And in our families, in our own lives, there are things that we can just get used to. But if it doesn't line up with kingdom culture, with God's ways, it needs to change. I remember one time I was sharing in one of these places to first-generation Christians, and these ones have already given their lives to Jesus, but I realized they were seeing fortune tellers when they needed advice, because culturally, that is what they used to do. And the Lord prompted me to minister about the cross and that there's only two sides in the Spirit, right? The one side, God, Father God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, and everything on the other side who has many different faces is all darkness, and it will lead to death. You know, why read the stars if you can ask the one who made the stars? You know, those things open a door for the enemy to have access in our lives. And in one of the meetings, there was this little house where outside the house was literally falling apart, and these people were packed into this house. And I was sharing about these things, and all of a sudden, a lady stood up and she said, I just have to say something. And she said, we need to listen to this. We need to change the way we raise our children. And it was such a powerful moment because she got it. She understood what it was about. See, in my own life, I've had to deal with so much regret. There's so many things I've missed in my life because of the issues in my heart that I had. And, you know, like in relationships, I have one sister that's 9 years younger and one that's 5 years younger. And growing up, I have no memory of ever reaching out to them. And one time we were all in one school, and I never went to look if they're okay or anything. I was just so consumed with my own life. And the sad part is I didn't even know I had all these issues in my life. I didn't even know what I was doing. And I wish that somebody took me aside and talked to me. I wish somebody would have challenged me. But at the time, nobody did. And, you know, in my life, I am so grateful for the people who took the time to speak the truth in love into my life. And I needed it many times. And of course, it's not nice to be challenged. It's not nice for people to call, to tell you, you know, you're doing this or you're doing that and you didn't know about it. But I am so grateful for the people who took the time to challenge me and talk to me. And see, we can be in denial, and the essence of denial is that you are the last one to know. You know, you act in a way or you do things and you are not aware of how you come across or what you do. And unless the, you know, people come around you or the Lord puts his finger on it, we have no idea how we do. Or some people have the attitude, oh, well, that's just the way I am. But if there's bad fruit, we need to look at it. It needs to be healed. And if there's bad fruit in our lives, it means that there is a bad root. You know, something happened. You know, you don't just have an anger issue, for example. Like I used to have an anger issue. You know, somewhere something happened. Somewhere that emotion had an entry point. You know, maybe somebody said something to you in a vulnerable moment. Maybe you were a little kid, or somebody treated you in a certain way, or they've done things to you, or the things that didn't happen to you, the protection you didn't receive, the care you didn't receive. All those things leave wounds in our hearts. And some of these entry points are through generational lines. When we see a pattern come down our generations, we need to pay attention to it, and we need to look at it. You know, so when things happen, these emotions come into our life, but with it also comes a lie that reinforces those emotions. And in the end, it is that lie that we start to believe that keeps the pain alive. And we need to receive the truth from Jesus, because truth sets us free. Now, over the years, the Lord has brought a lot of healing to my heart. I came to a place where I could feel the anger in my stomach, but not act on it. And I thought I was free, but I was only coping. I was not free from it. A key part of my breakthrough was when I really started to look at what are the things that trigger me. What happens when I feel that feeling so deep? And it's important for us to look at those things. It's like a scar. You know, I can show you that scar and there's no pain there because it's completely healed. But when the wound is still there, when it's a scab, if you take the scab off and put your finger in there, it is as if it just happened. The pain is right there. So many times things in our life on the surface here impact us, but really the root comes from a wound that happened sometimes when we were a kid, and it's still affecting our lives today. So I was starting to pay attention to this, and one time I remember there was a situation where I spoke to a leader over the phone, and the way the man was really hurtful to me. And in the natural, I could have looked at that and see it for what it was. This man's wife was just diagnosed with cancer, so he was not himself. But it so affected me, I could not stop crying. Even at lunchtime, every time somebody looked at me, I could just feel tears run down my face. And I went to the bathroom and I said, Lord, what is wrong with me? I cannot stop crying. And the Lord took me back to a memory of where something happened many years ago that I've already forgiven the people, but there was still some pain behind it that I've never processed. So I was able just to cry and just to process with the Lord there in that place. And the Lord brought incredible, incredible freedom to my heart. So one day, you know, I was already in my late 30s. I was sitting in a counselor's office and Frank Meadows' office. And at the back, there's actually brochures. He's doing an event in January. And I was sitting in his office, and all of a sudden, all these memories flood my mind of where I was sexually abused as a child. And the only way I can tell you that it's real is the emotion and everything I felt in that moment. And then at one point, I said to him, I am so angry. I just want to scream. And he said to me to take the pillow next to me. And I took the pillow and I was screaming into the pillow. And all that anger that was stuck in my system somewhere. I know our cells have memory and that anger was in there, and all that anger just came out. And that day I was free. The Lord set me free, and I learned such a valuable key that day of the importance of processing that pain, to allow it to come forth in a healthy way and giving it to the Lord, because we tend to push those things down. Whenever negative emotions come up or things that makes us feel uncomfortable, we try to move away or we numb it. We try to fill it with other stuff, and that's how a lot of addictions start, because we're trying to numb that pain, but the only thing that's happening is it's like creating a time bomb, because those trigger points, they just increase, and for some people that is completely shut down and they don't step into the life of freedom that Jesus has died for us to experience. You know, these emotions like the sadness, like the loss. Whenever we need to forgive somebody, something was stolen from us. You know, whether it's your dignity, your innocence, a relationship, something was stolen from us. You know, the shame, the anger, that feeling of needing to be in control, the bitterness, the feelings of feeling dirty, the fear, the loneliness. You know, you can be surrounded by people and still feel lonely. The helplessness, the failure, the regrets. You know, all these emotions need to process. There's a beautiful promise for me in Ezekiel 36, 26, where the Lord says that, you know, he'll take our heart of stone and he'll give us a heart of flesh. And, you know, these issues of the heart are like stones in our heart, and it take up space for God's love to be and for him to flow in us and through us. And we are limited in how much we can receive and give from the Lord. And we see in 1 John 4, verse 7 and 8, it says, beloved, let us love one another, because love is of God. And he who loves is born of God, knows God. But he who doesn't love doesn't know God. So the parts of our heart that still have these issues in, those parts of our hearts do not know the Lord. That needs a revelation of who he is, of who is, of his love. You know, and these lies that reinforce this, that keeps this pain alive, are different for each person and in each situation. But it sounds like things like, there is no hope for me. Something is wrong with me. I need to protect myself as no one else will. I need to be in control. I am dirty. I've ministered to so many people who have a core belief that they are dirty. I'm a mistake. I am stuck. I am stupid. Something was stolen from me and I can never have it back. You know, most of the time we are not aware that we are believing these lies until we ask the Lord to show us, and the Lord revealed to them. Many times they are so hidden and they're so subtle, but we live our lives from these lies as if they're truth. You know, and some of these lies do sound truth, like when your innocence was stolen and somebody took advantage of you. Yes, those are the facts. But the truth is, what does Jesus say about it? Because his words are life, and I've seen in my own life and so many people's lives, you know, what the enemy has stolen from you, the Lord can make that your platform and give you authority in that area where you can help many other people. Seen it over and over, that place of brokenness becomes people's strength and authority to minister and to help other people. John 8:32 says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Now, every time I do ministry, and especially one-on-one ministry, the cross just becomes more real to me. When you see people's faces, I've seen people's faces just change in front of me, where they were filled with pain and anger, and as the Lord come and bring healing and those emotions are processed, they completely look different. You know, Jesus is alive. You know, he is alive. The Holy Spirit's power is real. You know, there's something supernatural that happens when our hearts are being healed. It doesn't make sense to the natural mind. I know a man whose son was a bystander in a drug deal. He was not aware of what was going on. And he got killed accidentally. And the man in the prison who killed his son, the Lord told him to connect with him. And in the end, the Lord told him to wash his feet, the guy in prison, to wash his feet, the one who killed his son. And then later, the man said, you know, that young man in prison has become like a son to me. I mean, in your natural mind, you cannot grasp it, you cannot understand. There's something supernatural that happens when we come to Jesus and we process, and then he will bring life to us. But we need to receive it. You know, when Jesus died, he became sin. All the bad stuff, everything died. And when he came up, he broke every dark thing. This freedom is available. Freedom is possible. Many times in my life, I just needed to hear freedom is possible. But it's like Billy Graham once said, it's like soap. When soap is there on the shelf, you won't get clean, will you? You need to apply the soap to get clean. We need to receive what Jesus has done to him and come to him to help us. In one of these countries, I one time ministered to a girl who's 9 years old. Her father sexually abused her for many years of her life, and he even gave her vodka that she would not remember, but she was fully aware of what was going on. And in our prayer time, we came to a place where I just felt she needed to release all this emotion. And the Lord led me to tear a cross out of my book that I had. I was just tearing this cross, and I held it, and I explained to her that if she share all the stuff that has happened to her and just share it with Jesus, Jesus will take it on this side of the cross and give her a new life. And in her mother tongue, she started to share, and I was looking at her, and she was shaking and crying. And she was just telling Jesus everything that has happened to her in her life, and all that anger and all that pain. She was just sharing it. And there came a point where I saw that there was a release. And then I asked her what Jesus was showing her, and she said, she sees a little girl in a white dress, and that was her. The Lord showed her a picture of how he restored her and how he cleansed her. And one time in England, we were with a friend of my husband, and this man shared with us that he was really struggling with anxiety and stress, and he's really concerned even of his health because of it. And while we were sitting, just the three of us, all of a sudden I could see in his body language, I felt the Lord showed me that he was getting in touch with some of that emotion. And I, even just there in his living room, I said to him, you know, are you getting in touch with this? And he said, yes. And I said, well, allow yourself to feel it. Allow yourself that all that stuff to come up. And let's ask the Lord, where was the entry point? Where did all this start? And as he was feeling it and getting in touch with it, the Lord showed him a picture in his life of where all of this started. And he was able to forgive the people who played a part in that. He repented for judging them. You know, the Lord revealed the lies he believed. He repented for receiving those lies and broke agreement with those lies. And then we asked the Lord for his truth. And it was amazing. Just there in his living room, the Lord brought incredible breakthrough. He's still talking about it, how the Lord set him free that night of that incredible tension and anxiety he was struggling with, that he was really concerned about. In a church, I know the pastor really well now. I ministered about this, and the pastor came afterwards with tears in his eyes, and he was sharing how he wanted these bright color running shoes. And his parents did not really have the money to buy it, but they bought it for him. And the next day when he wore it to school, everybody laughed at him. And he went home and he never wore them again. And the Lord showed him that he started to believe a lie that when he takes a risk, people are gonna laugh at him. And he said he can see in his life how he stopped taking risks. And the Lord set him free that day, and he is taking a lot of risks now. I know this pastor, and it's really amazing to see what the Lord has done. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, because out of it flows the issues of life. And Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. You know, for many years I struggled with very low self-esteem and self-worth. And in my 20s, I was at this retreat for young adults, and my friend invited me to the leaders' meeting afterwards, the gathering, and I went into the gathering. And I was not even there for probably 2 minutes. I felt so incredibly unworthy to be there with these leaders that I left the room. I could not stay there. I just felt so, so not valuable. So my self-esteem was just so, so, so low. And you know, and today I have ministered to leaders in many places, in many different nations. You know, many times the place where the enemy is trying to destroy you is the place where the Lord really wants to use you. And I asked four ladies to come and share their testimonies. Karen, if you would come first. And these ladies have ministered with me in different places here and abroad. And I just want to open it up. If you want to come and minister with me sometime, just let me know. I cannot always take a lot of people. And sometimes you need to hear from the Lord, depending on where I'm going, if you're supposed to go. But I want to know if you want to come with us. So they're just going to take like a couple of minutes. But their stories are so powerful. You know, and not just them. There's several people who've ministered with me. There's so many incredible testimonies in this church. And this one, and Karen is a friend from another church. So
hi. And I just wanted to share with you for a minute about coming home. And I'm even aware that it's Thanksgiving and Christmas and how sometimes this home is hard at this time of year for people. But my home was shattered in pieces about 25 years ago. My husband left me and our three girls after about 26 years of marriage for another woman. And when that happened, I didn't realize how mighty and amazing Jesus was in my life. I didn't know. I would read all the verses about being hidden in Christ, and I loved Jesus. I really did. And I knew he loved me, and I loved Holy Spirit. But there was a third person that I figured was distant. He could have done something. He didn't do something. Was the Father. And so I became a drug addict for probably, I don't know, 15, 17 years, and I lived in my bed. I would put on my church mask and go to church. I don't know how I did those years because I only wanted to die. But my children finally came to me in the summer of 07 and said, "Mom, you either have to go to a rehab tonight, today, or you're not going to see your grandkids, you're not going to see us. We are consumed with caring for you, and we can't live like this." So, you know, when you're at the bottom of the barrel or underneath the barrel, you know, fine, what do I have to lose? So I went to this place, and I was laying on my bed reading my Bible one morning, and the Father came and showed up. And I didn't have any language for this because it's just all about Jesus. And it is all about Jesus. He's the King of all the kings. He's wonderful. But John 14:6, Jesus says, "I'm the way. I am the truth and the life, and I'm the way that's come to take you all the way home to the Father, not when you die, but here on the earth. The completion of the Trinity is now." And so this Father, like it talks in 2 Corinthians 1:3-5, "Praise be to the God and Father of Jesus, the God of all comfort, the Father of all compassion. This is who met me that day in rehab and healed my drug addiction, I had two knee replacements by then, healed my migraines. The depression was blacker than the black you could ever imagine. But he turned me back into," she talks of the divine exchange, "who he made me to be in the first place, before I ever came to earth." And we can get a whole lot of damage down here on the earth. I need this little prop real quick. I learned about Jesus then in the, and I just, it's like you said, the cross. I know it's crooked, but I learned what it is to be hidden in Jesus, who says, "I'm not ashamed. Yep, I'm not ashamed to call you my brothers and sisters." And he says, "I'm going to my Father and to your Father." He's so amazing. And we find what our place is in life being hidden in him. Jesus is next to the Father. He said, "I'm in the Father, the Father's in me." And you know what that means for you and for me? I'm in the same place Jesus is. I'm in the Father. I don't understand it. He's in, they're in, all of that. I'm his kid in the middle. And it's the power of the Holy Spirit that brings it here. So just embrace who you are and let the love of God pour into your hearts today. Thank you.
Thank you. Emily? And after this, we're going to go into ministry time. So if the Lord is prompting something in your heart, just listen to what he's speaking to you, even now.
It's afternoon. Good afternoon. My name is Emily.
Hi, Emily.
This is me before. I was bipolar. I was mean. I'm little, but I'm mean. I have asthma. I have carpal tunnel. I have migraine all the time. I have stomachache all the time. I fight with my husband all the time. I want to leave him. I do not want him anymore because I was getting ready to either kill myself or leave my husband. That was my life before. And then Jesus took me to this side in a completely different life. And I was also like, my comprehension is so bad. I didn't go to a good school. So I didn't know how to read book, really. I don't have such comprehension, so I hated my life. But anyway, when I got introduced to Jesus Christ, I began to read the Bible, and I started like at the very back, the book of Revelation. And this is the passage that really caught me. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, "Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe away tears from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever." And I really want to know what this means. Why this word is in here? It's a promise. So I have to really dig on this word. What does this mean? So I'm on Jesus' side now. So slowly God is showing me what this means. He start healing me on everything, what I was before, and he start to deliver and restore my life. And he's given me a new eyes. And also, I begin to look at my husband. He's a good-looking man now. And I love him so much. He changed my heart completely. These words really healed me, and he led me to where I supposed to be, how he created me to be. And I went to Philippines for 6 months, and I came home. I was there for a mission, and I came home, find out that my daughter was bipolar also. And years passed by, and she started taking a lot of medication. It's like 7 types of medication. And then the way I fight the battle for my daughter, I dance in the Lord. In my room, I declare every promises, because my daughter doesn't want me to pray with her. She just completely doesn't want anything to do with God. So what I did, I just stay in my room. I'm dancing in her room. I'm declaring God's word with her. So I'm loving God's word. This is what brought me to this life now, full of joy. And I love to be in his presence. So thank you.
And is your daughter healed? Is your daughter healed?
Yeah, and my daughter is healed completely. He was out from 7 medication.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Stefan.
Hi, my name is Stephanie.
Stephanie.
<Hi. laughs> I have a couple of minutes. I'm here to testify about my Heavenly Father's love. Like King David said, my God in his unfailing love will meet me. And he did meet me a lot of times through my work with him, but I will share particular this moment, like in 2000, we lost our oldest son, Andre. He was electrocuted immediately at work. He was just 22 years of age, graduated from UVA, prepared for life, and left home on August 2nd, 2000, never came back. My world stopped. especially like the old parents, pray for our children. And I did pray for my children faithfully. And this morning, last morning for his life, I prayed. I remember the place when I was kneeling for protection for my children. And it seems God didn't answer my prayer. Like I say, it was August, and in 3 months, it's Thanksgiving. And I didn't feel to celebrate Thanksgiving. Even I have so much to be grateful, I still have hugs for my other children. But enemy worked in your mind, just speaking to me, something wrong with you, like Marguerite was teaching, something done right. God didn't answer your prayer. And I know God loves my children, I ever able to love, but I receive lie from enemy. He did not love me, something wrong with me. And it was Wednesday before Thanksgiving, 15 years ago. And my older daughter Nadia stopped by and asking, and we have Thanksgiving dinner, and my youngest daughter Luba say, seems not. Mama didn't do shopping. Make long story short, I went with my youngest daughter to Walmart night before Thanksgiving. so many people and quick shopping. And my daughter Luba came to me and said, Mom, here a couple from our church. And I just turned back. I didn't want to talk to nobody. And Luba say, is not you, Mom? Of course not. Mostly I'm like talk to people, but not this time. And we did quick shopping. We were going towards to cashier, and this couple from my church, Jonathan Perrett's parents, Elle and Christy, came to me. My father love encountered me in Walmart through his servants. He asked, how are you, Stephanie? Of course I say, I'm okay. They didn't even look to their eyes. And Elle just was saying, no, Stephanie, you're not okay. Can we pray for you? Of course I agree. Christy hugged me. And they prayed and not finished with prayer. Holy Spirit spoke to me through Brother L. I didn't share what I was battling in my mind and what I was going through with no one, even with my children. And I received lie. Because like Margaret said, we even don't know it's lie. But L just spoke to me how I received lie. And life was uncovered, and I was delivered in this moment in Walmart. I was delivered from this life. He spoke to me, Father, true. And not just that, he went past in 30 years ago how I received Jesus, how it wasn't easy in Ukraine, and no one knows but Holy Spirit, just to build my confidence and to know who I am in Jesus. He just was saying, what happened with your son is nothing have to do with you. He's so pleased with you from day forth when you give your heart to him. And anyway, long story, I left Walmart completely different. We gave my daughter home. We prepared this giving dinner. And we have Thanksgiving and Christmas since. What I want to highlight, God's children, if God given you word, doesn't matter when and where, even in Walmart before Thanksgiving, just be obedient and speak, because God can change life through you, like mm-hmm. He changed mine.
Amen.
Pam.
Hi, everybody. So, hi. I went with Marguerite on her third trip to Turkey. And when I went, I was just going to observe and see what was happening there. And God had a different plan. And I think he put me on a ministry team. And anyway, my head was spinning. It was a little crazy for me. Now I feel a little more prepared. But when I was getting ready to go with Marguerite, she had given me a teaching to do when I was there on forgiveness. And she said, here, I want you to share with everybody this. And so I looked into my past and said, all right, where have I had forgiveness? And there was a place in my life when I was a young child that somebody really significant in my life, out of a place of their own devastating pain, really rejected me and just spoke lies over me and disowned me as their own child. And so I was going to use that because I figured, well, I've already forgiven this and it's good, and I'll use that as my example. But every time I started talking about it, I would start crying again. And I thought, well, I just need to harden myself, you know, because it was a traumatic thing and it was hard, and I'm better now. But then I would start talking and I would start crying again. And in my heart, I had this door that I shoved everything into, that it was a one-way door. If I had something emotionally traumatic, I would just stick it in there and never look at it again. I went to an Ancient Paths seminar here, and that memory had come up, and I didn't even want to come back to the second day because I did not want to look at it. It was just really traumatic. So I came, and what happened was I sort of opened that door up and said, I forgive you, and shut the door again, so I never had to look at it. But I never dealt with the pain. It was really, really painful. And God has given us emotions on purpose. He really wants us to honor those emotions. So if you come to a place like I did, where I was continually crying, ask him. And that's what I did. I said, Lord, I don't understand. One night I was praying and I was like, I just don't get it. Why do I keep crying? What is wrong? And he brought me to a place where I was able to just sit down and spend time with him. And I cried a lot and I just let it all out. And I was able to really, truly from my heart, forgive that person and break my agreement with those lies that I had made. And when I walked away from that, I was completely free. So I just want to encourage you, if you have something in your heart that when you think about it or you talk about it, it brings you to tears, that's a clue that there's something there that you need to bring to the Lord and let him heal that, because he's the best healer and he will set you free. It's not something you have to be bound up with.
Thank you, Pam. Just want us to go into a time. We have some time left. We can just start that CD. The other day, this song just really ministered to my heart, of this Benson song. He's on our worship team, and his website is there if you want the song. But if you just close your eyes.